The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and he said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all those who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able to, with 10,000, oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the one undivided God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I love the second lesson, and I love the first lesson. The gospel is a little bit more difficult. It is challenging when it says, Jesus says, you must hate your mother, wife, and children, brothers. It's like, come on. But it is, there's an important, how I've wrestled with this a bit this week. And how we focus our life on God is important. I've been enjoying the last couple of years raising ducks, and we have a few ducks in our yard. And one of the things that ducks need is water, lots of water. And at Walmart, you can get these little baby pools, and they're great for the ducks. The problem with them is that I don't spend a lot of money on them, and they're kind of cheap. And it's very easy for a rock or something underneath it, they'll poke, a tiniest little hole will poke in the bottom of it. Now, I will then go out later in the day, and there's no water in it. It looks beautiful, the whole this pool, but there's one little pinprick hole in it, and it means it's useless. In our life, we may have all sorts of our life so wonderfully connected to God, or I'm really doing wonderful things, but there's one part of my life that, you know, God, I'm not going to let you touch. One pinprick. It's like the one little hole in the ceiling that was in the roof that's letting the water in. It will become a bigger problem pretty soon. It's one of those things that will only grow bigger and bigger. It's, I may have a perfect suit on and really look nice, but have one stain right here. One little stain. And what's everybody going to notice? One little stain. It could be a wonderful suit in all other ways. But that one thing that gets us tripped up. This is the one thing, it used to be said that our early king wanted to be baptized and had all his soldiers go into the water, but they kept their swords out of the water, because we don't want to have that be baptized too. In our modern day, we kind of all get baptized, but we keep our wallet kind of up out of the water. Everything but this, God. Whatever it is we're holding, that little pinprick of our life, that this really, God, is not going to be in your hands at all. Whatever that might be, it could be a wonderful thing. It's like putting on our clothes with our outer undergarments on the outside and the outer garments on the inside. It looks funny. It's just not right. We need to dress ourselves appropriately in the presence of our holy living with God, and that the foundation of all is being in relationship to God. From that, our love of parents, children, everything else flows. But when that gets in the way, when I'm basically saying, God, you are to serve me, and you're supposed to take care of my child in this way or that way, and I'm really telling you what to do, it gets it all mixed up. And this is how I interpret when Paul is saying, hate your brothers and sisters and mother. And he's like, it's get it right. Get the order of things right is really important. Understand what the cost, because when you fall in love and you give your life and you open that up to God, everything will change. Went to the wedding yesterday of Jason Ludwig, a young guy who I've watched grow up in this parish. Now is this, and it was wonderful to watch he and Emily Carver, the two of them, cast their lots. And this is, you are the love of my life. You are the one, and this commitment they made for each other. And this is, as a modern day would say, I'm all in. This is it. There's nothing else. Without you, my life would be a horrible mess. But with you, I am made in a wonderful way. And this is where we're making our commitment. This is where we do this with God. I'm all in. We're putting my life in your hand, God. This is that great gift. And in that, just as marriage, we bring ourselves, but you have no understanding what's going to happen and what's going to lie ahead, or having children or any of these things, because it's going to be a journey that we cannot prepare ourselves for. But in this journey with God, it will change us. It will transform us. And this is where the letter of Paul is the masterpiece. This is, if you were to wrap up all of Jewish guilt and all of Roman Catholic guilt into one letter, this is the source document. I love this letter. This is one of the greatest letters of this. A slave has been no good and he runs away. And the master is furious and hurt and is wanting to get recompense for this. And the slave just happens to run into Paul, St. Paul, and it just becomes his godsend while he's in prison, and is this an amazing gift to him. Now, Paul happened to be the one that introduced the faith to this original owner, and in fact saved his life. So Paul writes back saying, I've just met this wonderful man, Onesimus. He has been just, he is but my very son, my heart, he has been so wonderful to me. And I hear that he was once your slave and ran away. Well, I could just ask you that, you know, have him keep him here, me, and comfort me in prison, but I will suffer in prison. I will suffer. That's okay. I'm sending him back to you because you will do what is the right thing, I know, and you will accept him as your brother, but just make it voluntary. You know, I don't want to force you into anything. It just lays it on over and over again. And it is one of these masterful tales of seeing something differently. Philemon was, here he is, you know, all outraged at this injustice, and someone's got to pay. And Paul turns it around and says, put it on my account. Think nothing of that you owe me your life. I will pay whatever it is. This is beautiful. What we hold on to, what we think is the most important opinion, idea, whatever it might be, God will speak to it, and that could be the pinprick, whatever it is in my pool. And God will find a way to point that out and say, right here, this is, think differently. And in our prayers, as we honestly pray, God opens our eyes to hear in a different way, to see in a different way. And my life will be transformed. My life, I will have to hear the voice of God speaking when there is something out of place and there is one little stain on that suit. God will point it out. As a lot of people in this parish points things out to me all the time. And I love it. It's great. And it is a gift of God. It is important that we find that our life can be transformed because of the relationships with whom we live. The people, the brothers, the sisters, and they're the best. They will point out anything, I've noticed. And they're good at that. And it's important that we have somebody to say, yeah, you're right. And in a small town, it's not just your family, it's all the neighbors who know you way too well. And this is important, that we can be transformed. It's not about my opinion or whatever the cause or whatever. This is important. God will find a way to bring what is important to God into my life. To somehow say, yeah, that is, you're really worked up about that, aren't you? Now let's talk about what I want to do. And I'm left with God's speaking a word that is powerful. And this beginning word of choose life, and you'll find that blessing. We have before us every day an important opportunity of choosing life. Or we find ourselves choosing culture, or our possessions or other things. And yet God says, no, choose life. And that life is the breath we live, the body in which we inhabit. It is the family and the community in which we live, the country in which we live. This is the life that we're called to embrace. And embracing that, our possessions then serve that which we are loving and living with. It's not we're serving our possessions anymore. And the relationships then make a whole different sense to us, because it might be the angels of God speaking to us, not because I want to control my family and I try. And God continually changes and molds that and writes this letter of Philemon to me once again saying, well, you could think that way, Peter. You could hold on to that way of thinking about your children. You could do that, but just remember all the mercy I've shown you, Peter, over the years. And I'm left thinking, okay, God, maybe mercy needs to be where I'm beginning and not my judgment, my rightness. That letter of Philemon is written again and again by God into our hearts, not just to lay on guilt, but to transform us, to open us to be in a different way, finally. To be where we always were, in the arms of God, because we forget that. We find ourselves, we drift in the winds of time, and in the midst of God's grace, the letter is written back. Of course you'd want to do this, wouldn't you? Yes, I would. And finding that that is in fact the blessing that I've been avoiding or I've been upset about, and yet God will bring me back. And it's about God's call to us, not my call to God. God's call upon us. What is that call? What is that letter being written to us to say, you may think that way, and that's wonderful, but where is that pause where Paul speaks to us again and says, well, you can think that way, but just remember the mercy of God that's been shown you. You may want to judge others, but once again, God has loved me so much, and yet I've been judging myself so harshly. And yet God writes this letter, you can judge yourself so harshly all the time and beat yourself up over the things that you've done. But just remember, I gave up my life for you. Just remember, but that's okay. You can get down on yourself once again. But remember, God's grace comes again and again, more consistent than the tide. It returns again every day as the earth turns. So is that love of God turning us once again to that place where God will surprise us and meet us and embrace us, where we let go of that one little speck that has been blocking us from God's grace, and our pool is filled again with the love of God. Amen.